Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Okay, so let me actually read you exactly what the U.S. Copyright Office did. They decided to remove restrictions on some forms of digital tampering. That, again, sounds like a relatively mundane piece of language there, but this has pretty wide-ranging impacts, or it could. In order to talk about this, we've got Siva Vaidyanathan with us. He's an associate professor of media studies and law at the University of Virginia. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
You know, it's funny. There were a lot of members of the Makers Revolution who were fighting for a change like this, and this is kind of the first step in turning what they want. This is more than just about being able to put applications on your iPhone that Apple doesn't want you to put on there, right?
Yeah, you know, not so long ago, 12 years ago or so, copyright was about restricting copying, right? It makes sense. We need a law to raise the cost of making unauthorized copies to the point where people don't do it very often. But in 1998, Congress decided that it would extend the power of that section of the law over technology itself to regulate how you could customize technology. And ostensibly, it was to allow, for instance, DVDs to have copy protection software around there, and hacking past that software became illegal. But companies like Apple and other companies like garage door opener companies, whatnot, have decided that they would twist that law, extend it in practice to scare people away from customizing their own technology, using a generic garage door clicker, for instance, or in the case of the iPhone, putting on applications that haven't passed muster with Apple's own guardians, right? So that, of course, has a lot of implications to how you use the iPhone. A lot of people have been hacking the iPhone software to use it to connect their laptops to the 3G networks, you know, to let them tether the iPhone to a computer. And that's the sort of thing that neither AT&T nor Apple wants to have happen in an unauthorized way. So Apple's always maintained but never sued anybody over the notion that but always maintained that it was a violation of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act to hack past the protection and install unauthorized software. But let's be clear. If you do that with your iPhone, you're still violating the contract you have
with
Apple.
Warranty is voided.
Right. So, well, it's not just the warranty is voided. You're actually violating the user agreement, and Apple can basically bar you and bar your iPhone from the service.
Although they've never done that.
Well, they haven't sued anyone in court over this, but they have certainly locked people out of getting service on their iPhones, for instance.
But really,
people have been customizing their iPhones from the beginning. It's not necessarily, this ruling isn't going to increase
change
the
it.
Customization
right.
habits, but it does indicate that one of the absurd notions of the copyright law is now null and void.
Okay, but the U.S. what many people are saying is that this is the first step toward the U.S. Copyright Office kind of weighing in on ownership. In other words, that there's this whole digital media and technology out there that they've kind of applied different rules to it over physical objects that you purchase and then have ownership of, that as though there's a different set of laws that apply to technology and digital media. And this is the Copyright Office sort of sticking its toe into saying, well, look, if you bought the iPhone, you should own it, right?
Well, there's been a tug of war over that very question since the dawn of commercial software. And, you know, like Microsoft asserts that you don't buy a copy of Microsoft Word or Microsoft Office, you're merely leasing it. And so Microsoft reaches into your computer and changes stuff all the time and monitors what you do. And Apple's always done, in recent years anyway, done the same thing with its various products. And when you get a phone at a discount and you sign away certain rights with that user agreement, which, of course, no one reads. I mean, yesterday I bought a new iPhone 4, and I certainly didn't read the user agreement, even though I know it has all sorts of horrible things in there. There's nothing I can do about it, right?
Maybe
so,
you should go read it, Siva.
When you do that, you are basically allowing the company a tremendous amount of control over a device that you are used to thinking of as your own. You think of your car as your own.
But wait, let's talk about car for a second, Siva.
You know, there's a lot of question about how much it really is yours.
Siva, let's talk about cars for a second. I mean, there's actually an act to try to get a car car companies to allow other repair services to use the sort of computer codes to actually repair and do maintenance on vehicles. So this goes way beyond the iPhone.
Yeah, and it is about competition in a way, if you think about it, right? I mean, you would imagine that the car companies want to be able to charge that premium to only have you go to authorized mechanics, those who are, and from their point of view, trained properly in the very advanced technology of cars right now. But look, it's in consumer interest as well to have a lot of different mechanics be able to bid for your for the work and lower the price. And so removing these legal restrictions around technology can really help with competition in a lot of different markets.
So, I mean, is this could this be the beginning of something on which the U.S. Copyright Office will return and we will see it kind of expand this notion of ownership?
Well, you know, yesterday the Copyright Office issued a whole series of rulings that helped expand, for instance, and this matters a lot in my business, the ability of teachers and students to circumvent protection measures around DVDs to take small clips of video to be able to use for commentary or for teaching, or for criticism, or for parody. And that, you know, that's a really important right when it comes to, you know, the sort of the turmoil of our culture and the arguments in our culture over video products and you know, the influence of movies and television. So that's the sort of thing that we're starting to see 12 years after Congress passed this horribly restrictive, absurd law. We're seeing the Library of Congress put a little bit of breathing room back into it, in a lot of ways, just recognizing the fact that we've been doing this throughout. We've been hacking. I hacked the first iPhone I had, you know. And
you are in trouble.
You know, people have been doing it for a long time, and we've been circumventing DVDs, and we've been customizing our cars in violation of the wishes of these companies for quite some time. And I think the Library of Congress is catching up to the culture.
Well, Siva, the Apple police will be at your door at any minute now. That is Siva Bhatianathan, Associate Professor of Media Studies and Law at the University of Virginia.
You're going to go blind if you keep doing that, Siva.